that a person that's faithful is loyal. That means that they are loyal to someone or something. That when you realize that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, that when you realize that without him, there can be no eternal life, that when you realize that he wakes you up every morning, he starts you on your way, he blesses you with the very breath that you breathe, you realize that he puts clothes on your back, he puts food in your cupboard, he puts gas in your car, you realize that he's the one that takes care of you every day, that's someone that we will dedicate ourselves to, that's someone that we will be loyal to.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Money, the Mindset of a Faithful Steward, from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Money, the Mindset of a Faithful Steward.
To take care of it in a way that I would be pleased. What you have right now, are you managing it wisely? See, first of all, a steward realized that it wasn't for them that they were managing it, but it was for another. And so they took meticulous care to make sure they handled every detail, everything that they did in a way that would glorify the one that they represented. Are you managing what you have wisely? In your notes, this is what I say. This means that I have to be a wise money manager. If I'm going to be a wise money manager, he done stopped preaching. I have to spend what I have wisely. I have to invest wisely. I have to give wisely. And I have to save wisely. All right? I got to do all those things. Now, I'm not going to have time to get into a lot of things this morning. So I put some things that are a quick reference in the notes for you. I believe on the second page of your notes, it talks about the giving mindset of a faithful steward. The giving mindset of a faithful steward. Number one, the priority of giving. And what is that? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with the first fruit. So for the person that has a faithful steward mindset, it's a priority. It's a priority for them. They're honoring the Lord with the first fruit. The pleasure of giving. That when you give, if you are a person with a giving mindset, then you give cheerfully. The Bible says that God loves a giver that's got his jaws tight. God loves a giver who looks like they could be a skull and crossbones on the iodine bottle. No, God loves a cheerful giver. I know we don't do it here. We don't do it here. But I mean, like some churches I go to, when they take up the offering, man, people stand up and start clapping and cheering and shouting. All right? I know we don't do that here. But you know what? As the pastor of this church, I hope that in your heart, at least in your heart, that you are clapping and cheering and say, here's an opportunity to give unto the Lord. The place of my giving. Well, there's a lot of places you can take it. You know, now, I'm getting ready to get in trouble. Shut up, Pastor, shut up. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. Now, I to be honest with you, I give to probably five ministries outside of Bethany Baptist Church. There's every month I send a check to, or they take a draft out of my account. Five ministries that I give to outside of Bethany. But the main part of my giving is here, because this is where the fellowship is. This is where the feeding is. This is where I worship. Now, you know, some people say, well, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, Pastor, he said, I just want to let you know that, you know, I'm tithing to In Touch, Charles Stanley's ministry. And I love Charles Stanley. Cut my teeth on Charles Stanley. Grew up in my spiritual faith listening to Charles Stanley. But I said, well, I guess if You get sick and go in the hospital, Charles Stanley's gonna come visit you. Well, I told you. Shut up, Pastor, shut up. The percentage of my giving. And I'll just say this, 1 Corinthians 16:2, as God has prospered you. If God has prospered you a lot, it should be reflected in your giving. If God hasn't prospered you as much, it should be reflected in your giving. The Bible is very clear. People say, how much should I give? I tell people, as God has prospered you. All right, now we can get into a lot of other stuff. And I don't have time, like I said, I don't have time to teach this morning on giving, tithing, all that stuff. So I'm just going to put it out there generally. Now, I have done a series on giving. It's 4 CDs, and I talk specifically about all that. So if you want that series, we can talk to Brother Jeff and see if we can't get that to you. All right. So this, I'm just trying to cover some of the things this morning that was presented in what I was asked to do. All right. So the mindset of a faithful, the giving mindset. So there are the priority, the pleasure, the place, and the percentage. Now, because some people asked about specific things, I put in here the financial mindset of a faithful steward on these subjects, on bankruptcy, on budgeting, on debt. Here goes one right here. I had somebody call me a couple months ago, asked me what I co-signed for. Co-signing. Oh, no, he didn't put the big G down there, did he? He didn't put the big G down there, especially in light of what's been happening these last couple of weeks with these millions of dollar lotteries. He didn't put the G down there, did he? Yes, I did. Yes, if you hit, just remember your church. That's all I'm going to say. Don't have to tell us where it came from. Just one Sunday, we'll rejoice. Oh, man, the Lord certainly blessed the offering this week. But I'm not promoting it now. I'm not promoting. I don't play. I'm not promoting. But if it happens, savings, next thing there. No, retirement. Savings, suing. What about suing somebody else? And what should be our attitude toward taxes? So these are some biblical references for some areas of concern for some of the saints. So you can look up those scriptures if that pertains to you. All right. So I have to manage what I have responsibly. Number two, that means what I have, what I invest, what I save, and what I give. Some people say, well, I give 10% to the Lord, and I can do whatever else I want to do with the not. No. See, right there, just by nature of the fact that you would even make a statement like that shows that you do not have the mindset of a faithful steward. Well, I can do what the nine do. No, you can't do what you got to. You are a manager for God. You are, if you keep 90%, you are managing 90%. You got to manage that 90%. Whatever it is, you got to manage it wisely. And you know, Jesus realized how much of a struggle people were going to have with money. To the fact that, you know, that Jesus said more about money than he did about heaven, about hell, and about prayer. He said more about money than those three topics. Do you know that one third of the parables of Jesus concern money? Why is that? Because Jesus realized that this thing called money is a powerful grip in the life of people, and that until they understand the concept and how to deal with it, that they're going to have a hard time lining up with what he wants them to do, just like the rich young ruler. Jesus wasn't interested in that guy's money. Jesus told him to sell all you have, give it to somebody else, follow me. Jesus was not, you think Jesus wanted his money? He wasn't testing his, he didn't want the guy's money. He was testing his heart. He was trying to see where his heart was at. And Jesus wants to know, God wants to know, where is our heart? That's why he said so much about money. I have to manage what I have responsibly. Number three, where I spend my money is a reflection of where my heart is at. Amen. Amen. Jesus was very clear. Matthew 6:21, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Money is a very good indicator of your spiritual condition. Many things can be determined about a person. I've said this before. You can determine where a person's priority is by looking at two things: your date book and your checkbook. That's all I got to do. I might not have ever met you before, but if somebody was to come up and say, look, here goes this person's date book, and here goes their checkbook, and I was to look through it, I could tell where your heart was at just by that. I could tell where your heart was at just by looking at those two things. And Jesus understood that, and that's why he said, where a person's treasure is, that's where their heart is also. Now, in your notes, I put this down. And this is one of the things that just blew me away. And I don't know where I read this at in my studying this week, but I read this, and it said, financial decisions are spiritual decisions. Let me run that by again. Financial decisions are spiritual decisions. Now, I'm not saying whenever we decide if we're going to buy a box of Cracker Jacks or not, we need to pray about it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if there are some significant purchases going on in our lives, there ought to be some spiritual connection with that purchase. There ought to be somewhere along the way where we have stopped to consider, Lord, where are you at in this? God, if this is a reflection of my heart, then how is this spiritual decision reflecting on my relationship with you? Financial decisions are spiritual decisions. And the problem is that many of God's people have divorced the two. They have separated the two. But what did Jesus do? Jesus married them. The groom was finances. The bride was your spirit. And Jesus married the two together. What God have joined together, let no man put asunder. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. Number four. Money is my servant, not my master. Money is my servant and not my master. Some people are driven by money. They become a slave to getting money and keeping money. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 that nobody can serve two masters. For either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, in case you get this thing confused, in case you absolutely think, well, he's talking about slaves. He's talking about slavery. He's talking about on your job. In case you might get it confused, look what he says. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Money. Money. You can't serve the two. See, money is either going to be your servant or your master. How is money a servant? This is how money is a servant. When I take my money and I pay my bills and I have something for myself and I enjoy what I have and I am blessed with the resources that I have and the money that I have and I'm able to lay down at night and be blessed because of the money that I have, and in that I'm able to give, break off a little something here for somebody, break off a little something here, break off a little something here. I'm able to give and bless other people with the money I have. Then you know what? Money is my servant. Money is my servant. I'm taking it, I'm controlling it, and I'm telling it what to do. But some folk, money is their master. It causes them to run over folk. It causes them to stomp on people. It causes them to abuse individuals. Why? Because money is their master. There were some great theologians back in the 70s, three theologians, and they talked about how that money is a terrible master. They said, do things, do things, do things, do bad things with it. For the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, people can't even walk the streets because they never know in the world who they're going to beat. For that mean, mean, mean green. For the love of money, people will lie, rob, and cheat. For the love of money, people don't care who they hurt or beat. For the love of money, a woman will sell her precious body. For a small piece of paper, it carries a lot of weight. The love of money. Give me a nickel. Brother, can you spare a dime? Money will drive some people out of their mind. Money is a wonderful servant, but it's a cruel master. Whew. It's a wonderful servant, but it's a cruel master. Some folks sitting here today greasing me and my spirit to think that money is your master. And it's just whipping you around. It's controlling you. It's taking out that whip and giving you 39 lashes across your back. It's causing you anguish, suffering, and sorrow. Why? Because money is your master. And the person that has a mindset of a faithful steward, money is not their master. Money is their servant. They tell money what to do. Number five, if I am faithful with the money I have, God will entrust me with more. You know, the reason that some people don't have more is because they can't be trusted with what they have. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And this is why some people don't have more money right here. This is why some people struggle. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that which is least is also unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous money. See, again, why does God give us money? God gives us money to test our hearts. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If I'm faithful with the money that God has given me, he will entrust me with more. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. And this may be offensive to some. If it is, I'm sorry. Especially to some children. And I'm not just talking about little children. I'm talking about adult children, right? But just think. This is deep, right? As a parent, if you had your resources and you know that you were going to get sick and you got 3, 4, 5 children, oh, say it again, brother. Say it again. Say it again. Now, you can't tell me. I don't want to get anybody in trouble today. But you can't tell me that already in your mind that you know, as a parent, who you would let manage your estate. Oh, preacher. Oh, preacher, preacher, preacher. You already know. Now, maybe you might have a couple kids that's on the same par, right? That you say, okay, well, you know. But you know there's some rascals in your family. Your own kids. Your own kids. That you would. Why is that? Because they have not shown themselves to be faithful in what they've already been dealing with, in what they have. And so therefore, you're not going to trust anymore to them because they're just going to blow it. As my dad would say, they're going to lose it quicker than so fast it'll make your head spin. That's how fast it would be gone. Because you can't trust them. But if there are children in your family that you trust, then you have no problem releasing your stuff to them. God is the same way. That God looks down, God sees who's been faithful to, with what they've had, and he entrusts them with more. And so if I want to be a faithful steward and a good money manager, then I've got to be faithful with what I have. My last point is this. I will have to give an account of my stewardship. One day I will stand before the Lord, and again, I don't think he's talking about pennies and nickels and dimes. I think he's talking about, you know, as a general rule of thumb, our heart, our attitude. Where has our resources been directed? Where have we directed our financial resources? And one day we will stand before the Lord and we will give an account. You remember the parable in Matthew chapter 25 where he gave the servants talents and then he went on a long journey. And he came back and the first two had been faithful with the talents that he gave them. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the other one had not invested it the way the master thought. And he said, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, wouldn't you hate to stand before God and as you are given account of your finances that he calls you a wicked and lazy servant because you haven't been faithful with the finances that he has entrusted you with? Years ago, there were these things out, and it was after my time. They were called, and some of you might remember them. The only reason I remember them because my kids used to have them, or one of my kids used to have them. And they were called POGs, I think P-O-G. And they were these little cardboard things about the size of a quarter, and they had a picture on them. And you could go and buy like a tube of them, and you know, in the tube, you might have had like 10 of these little pieces of cardboard with pictures on them. And I remember one of my kids came to me and asked me if they could have $5. And you Pastor Glazer's child. You know, I know that you're a wise money manager, right? I gave them the $5. And we went somewhere, and they came back, and they had spent their $5 on a little tube of these pogs. I said, let me see that. And I took it out. I said, all this is a piece of cardboard with a picture on it. I said, you gave $5. You spent $5 for some cardboard. And I wonder if when we get to heaven and we stand before the Lord, if God will say, you squandered your resources on cardboard. Wow. You squandered your resources on cardboard. When I stand before the Lord and he holds me accountable for the resources that he gives me, I know there's been error. I'll confess. That there's been areas in my finances I haven't been as faithful as I should. I know that. But you know what? It should be in our heart. It should be in our spirit to be as faithful as we can with the resources that God has given us, knowing that one day we will give an account. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Money, The Mindset of a Faithful Steward, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Money, The Mindset of a Faithful Steward. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Money, the mindset of a faithful steward.
When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.